As a young man living in Canada's high Arctic, I learned a beautiful Inuit expression for forgiveness. It's a 24-letter word I won't even try to pronounce, but it means not being able to think about it anymore. Saul, as we heard in our first reading, is, however, definitely from a warmer climate. For a third time, enraged by envy, he throws a spear at David. The young and very popular musician dodges, but it's enough to convince him it's time to get out of there. The king then issues a warrant for David's arrest, and reports are the lad is hiding in the hills. With a posse of around 3,000 against a band of a few outlaws, they meet again one cold, dark night. David, we remember, has a pretty good shot with a sling and a stone. But this night, he can't even bring himself to fire. He has every reason and all the opportunity in the world just to put Saul away. But his heart won't let him. Saul's entire posse is sound asleep, and the lethal weapon gift-wrapped before them just pin the inadequate-feeling king and hightail out of there. Put him out of his worry. I wonder what steps in the way of David's nature to prevent him from eliminating this obvious enemy. We can only imagine, sisters and brothers, it is loyalty, mercy, and David's holy anointing that are his true strength. Well, St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, also contrasts two very different natures in the human condition. Natural Adam is earthly, comes from the earth, is composed of the earth, and will return to the earth. Second Adam is spirit, comes from heaven, and hopes to return us to heaven. Second Adam is, of course, God's very self in the person of Jesus, our Christ. It's second Adam David honors and who graces him with the strength to overcome natural David, who might rather have just finished Saul off as he did Goliath earlier in his youth. Luke's gospel passage today further illustrates these two dynamics of the human condition. It's another of Jesus's inside-out teachings, I like to call them, that seemingly showcase our spiritual versus natural inclinations against each other. Could there be any more unnatural response than to love one's enemies? He's not talking about occasionally cracking a smile their way. Jesus is talking about loving them. Isn't it hard enough, gentlemen, to love your wife? Or what, women? Your husband? Or your children? Or parents? Never mind the one who's waving at you on the deerfoot, using only a single of their five available digits. This isn't a teaching for the faint of heart. In a world as turned inside out as is ours, it's difficult enough sometimes to even distinguish who is friend and who is foe. It all sounds foolish to love If that isn't enough, then to do good to one's enemies, doesn't that simply enable them to hurt even more? To understand Jesus' teaching, we must back up and realize that love is more than a transaction of emotion, or even a quality or characteristic of God. Love, friends, is the very essence of God. And as Pope Francis reminds us, is named mercy. God's name is mercy, Pope Francis tells us. If we believe we are brought into being by God, we can well imagine we belong in this community of love and mercy. Humankind is really only finite in as much as it cuts itself off from this, its truest lover. If we believe that God is love, then it follows we must have a part to play in an eternal, awesome, and beautiful Trinitarian relationship. Jesus, who came to reveal the Father, does indeed invite us today, here at St. Peter's, to participate in this great Trinitarian love affair. The Father, who speaks all into existence. The Son, who is Word, sentence, and book of the Father. The Holy Spirit, who enables perfect love. And brothers and sisters, you and I, who are like little words of God, the perfect and complete lover that is our God really then desires only to empty God's self into the hearts of his beloved. Henry Nouwen wrote, "Do not hesitate to love and to love deeply. The more you have loved and allowed yourself to suffer because of your love, the more you will be able to let your heart grow wider and deeper." It seems to me that anyone who truly loves their enemies steps towards the cross and learns quickly about suffering. Well, the just people do not punish a cold-blooded murderer the same way it disciplines a single mom who takes a loaf of bread to feed her hungry children. The point, friends, is that mercy must always guide our decisions and take precedent over judgment. Bless, therefore, pray, and yes, love even the most difficult among us. It might even be me. It's what prevents David from terminating Saul's life, and it is love and mercy that identifies us as children of the Most High. Put it away, friends, and don't think about it anymore.